Why am I here? Why are any of us here? Hello and welcome to the First 10 Pages. I'm your host, Keith, and I am here to bring you some Christmas joy. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. Normally on the First 10 Pages, what we do is we read a script, well, the first 10 pages of the script, and we compare it to what we saw on screen, and we talk about how effective were those first 10 pages in setting up the world and the characters that we're about to journey with through the rest of the film, or words to that effect. Something in English and something smart, insert later. So, we're not doing that this week. No, this week, I am doing something a little different. I wrote a poem a long time ago called The Great Big Santa Story. Now, The Great Big Santa Story is not a script. It is not for TV or film, but don't get me wrong, someone from TV and film wants to knock on my door and option The Great Big Santa Story, I'm all for it. It was actually written to be a book, a picture book. The Great Big Santa Story is a bit of a pun because in the story, Santa grows to be quite big, great, one might say. And that is sort of the fun of the story. The idea was hatched, believe it or not, after I saw Nightmare Before Christmas. I and two of my friends, Michelle and Alex, went to see the Nightmare Before Christmas in theaters when it released. It was released in a period where people did not want to go see really musicals or unusual animation at all. These are not things that were popular. Disney's promos, at least in my area in New York, and I don't know if these were the national ads or what, they did not indicate that Nightmare Before Christmas was a musical at all. The only reason we knew Nightmare Before Christmas was a musical was because there's a shot in the TV spot where you see Jack gesturing, and the way he's gesturing, you can tell that he's singing because Henry Selick and his team of animators did such a great job that you can tell by the body language what's happening. That all said, we of course loved it. We saw it in a virtually empty theater opening weekend. No one went to see that movie. Hard to believe today, I know, but that is the case. And when I left, I said to my friends, so here's a question. If Santa Claus has all that magic, because in the movie he has magic, we see him use his magic, why couldn't he escape Oogie Boogie himself? You know, and then we discussed, well, you know, we had to teach Jack a lesson. Jack needed to learn that Christmas wasn't his place, Halloween is his place, and what he really needs in his life is love and not Christmas and, you know, whatever. But those were the things that we discussed. But it got me thinking. And what I thought was, wouldn't it be fun to see a story where Kris Kringle, he sees a problem, he deals with it. And he deals with it in a way that only Santa could, using Christmas magic. That was the inspiration for my story, and that's what you're going to hear. This was recorded many years ago in the recording of the poem, which again was a long time ago. I at the time tried to find a lot of really unusual, rare, and also perfect fitting music for the background. I reached out to the copyright holders as necessary. One song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, comes from the Mountain Gypsy Project. Author Jeff Chestnut, the rights say Leave It to Django, copyright 2004. He allows a Creative Commons license on his songs, so we're good there. As long as I'm not making money off it, and I ain't, then it's all good, right? The other songs that I use, I tried to reach out to the copyright holders. There were email addresses, things like that, and website managers or whatever. I did my best, but the credit information that I have for these, Sleigh Ride, which is like this kind of punk version of Sleigh Ride that you'll hear in it, is CSR Rarities, R-A-R-I-T-Y-S, not I-E-S. Did a Google search for it before this podcast, found nothing. Silent Night with a Latin Beat and Jingle Bell Polka come from Patricia's Christmas Carols. I also use a Carol of the Bells. Not sure where I got it from. I'm gonna assume it's another Patricia's Christmas Carols. Did a search, got nothing. So, hey, if any of you out there are some of the copyright holders of any of this music, hey, reach out. Let me know. Let's talk. It's all good, right? It's all good. Right? Merry Christmas. That all said, this month's script reading is not a script. It is a poem that I wrote for a children's book. And I hope you enjoy it. And without any further ado, may I present myself. The Great Big Santa Story by Keith Planet. 'Twas Christmas time when adults and children smiled a lot. Little did anyone know, being hatched was a fiendish plot. All were stirring, even that little mouse, whilst others planned in an abandoned warehouse. Three villains schemed, pure evil each one. Some reason in agreement that
Christmas is no fun.
And not far away on a door, a wreath. In the warehouse these men did plan grief. Not far away, two kissed beneath mistletoe, but in the warehouse.
I've got the plan, ho ho ho. Let's be original about this, the leader chimed. We've seen it done wrong a million times.
How do we start? We go to the North Pole?
Nah, we set a trap, make him fall down a hole.
You're both wrong, just listen to me. If all goes well, Santa is ours on Christmas Eve.
So the bad men began to discuss their plan. While north, the elves wondered, what's wrong with their favorite fat man?
He seemed troubled, I saw a tear.
He cried? I've not seen that in 1,000 years.
The drumming bear did not make him laugh.
Nor did these blocks, this book, or the dancing giraffe.
It must be something devilish to give him pause.
True, but what on earth could scare one such as Santa Claus?
So there he sat in his small modest house, Santa stirring hot chocolate, and so was that mouse.
I'm not sure what exactly it is, my friend, but I know who is bad, and these are bad, bad men.
Santa, all week you've stayed up late to brood.
But Santa ignored Mrs. Claus and grabbed some more food.
I feel something wrong that makes me fret.
We go through this most every year. No one's beaten you yet. By the way, I see the elves playing with the toys.
That's okay. They test them for all the little girls and boys.
'Twas 2 days now, only two till Christmas. People sang, people danced. A mister kissed his missus. It was that chilly, wintry time when noses grew bright, and the Christmas magic made snowmen come to life. While at this time, throughout the world, expectations built in all the boys and girls. The adults, be they Scrooge or be they Grinch, had to get to the toy store and get there in a pinch. While elsewhere, three men prepared, each one a louse, and all kept their eye on that little stirring mouse. But then the time came, everyone was ready. All children smiled. Jean, Lisa, Joey, Angie, Davy, Jenny, Deanna, Elsa, Schmendrick, Dilly, Billy, Alan, Dan, Moby. And oh yeah, Eddie. 'Twas now the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even that darned mouse. And three evil men were merry, smiling with glee, certain that soon
we'd control Christmas Eve.
They traveled from town to town as quick as they could, grabbing the children and scaring them good. Rushing from state to state, finishing in a flash. Already planning how to ruin Times Square's New Year's Eve bash. They flew from country to country with the speed of light, finishing long before Santa even began his flight. They found the perfect place, a deserted isle. Figured they'd wait, chat with some natives for a while. They unloaded the children from a massive barge? Benny ate a burger that was real large. On the dirt the kids were thrown with little care, the villains hoping St. Nicholas soon would be there. They waited for hours, just waited around, wondering what time Santa'd arrive from Christmas Town. The children began to squeal, and some even cried. Benny offered them his burger, and some of his fries. It was almost 12.
Mr. Claus is late.
He must be afraid to meet his fate.
Then from the sky, all heard the familiar jingle jingle.
There he is. It is him, Kris Kringle.
The reindeer flew down and landed their sleigh. Through the crowd of children, Santa made his way.
We have some questions for you. A Christmas wish. Firstly, why do the elves follow you? Make all those gifts.
But Santa ignored him, no interest in answering. Then Otto grabbed a child, good little Mary.
Well, Santa, is that enough to sway your decision?
I will not give up. Not by the hairs of my chinny-chin-chin.
With a snap of his fingers, Mary did disappear, emerging next to Donner, her favorite reindeer.
Do not ever hurt these children, don't you dare!
The men looked nervously at each other, avoiding Santa's stare. But then Jake stepped forward, having his own anger to vent, not really knowing what it was he was up against.
Seeing danger ahead, Santa Claus suddenly became great, and most assuredly not cause of a fruitcake he ate. I don't mean simply large or obese either. I mean huge, gargantuan, monstrous even. His nostrils flared and his mittens grew sharp. He breathed in deep and his buttons popped. He stood high above, towering over all. The bad men, away they started to crawl. Santa, it seems, had come out of his shell. The reindeer who'd seen it before lazily hummed jingle bells.
You are fools to dare threaten me. I am most powerful on this day, Christmas Eve. I am no weakling, no coward, no dope. I am power, a physical incarnation of all children's hope.
His large hand reached down, the villains thinking they'd bought the farm. Then the children disappeared, out of the way of harm. Santa smiled wide at the three evil little men. He warned them never to try something like this again. Back on the ground, their fear was immense. Santa back in his sleigh, Jake, Otto, and Benny each held presents. Otto opened his and found
skates and the blanket I loved and lost as a child.
Then Jake began to open one, removed the paper, the tissue, and smiled.
A ducky, bubble bath, and a submarine. A 30-foot submerger.
Benny was thrilled with his
eyes, flies, rings, and another greasy burger.
Undasher, Vixen, Uncomet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
The sleigh took off. Santa held tight as he yelled,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Then he leaned into Rudy, using the red-nosed deer's lesser-known moniker, and said,
by the way, my friend, happy belated Hanukkah.
Okay, so that was the story. Hey, let's talk about the story. You might have questions, I might have answers. Now, I can't hear your questions. This is a podcast, not a radio call-in show. Which is a shame. One day maybe I'll do a radio call-in show. Maybe one day you'll be able to ask me questions. Maybe one day we will all live in peace and harmony. Until then, let's talk about a couple things. At one point, there is a line that goes, the adults, be they Scrooge or be they Grinch. Here's the thing about publishing a book. Like, if this, because this was written as a storybook, right? Well, I can't just mention the Grinch. If one publisher says, hey man, we want to publish your story, and I go, great, here's my story, and I mention the Grinch, and I mention Mickey Mouse, and I mention this, they're going to, you can't do that. You got to get permission to mention anything. So I did a little workaround that I actually checked with an IP lawyer before publishing it on my first website way back in 2005, before I even recorded this thing. Grinch is spelled G-U-H hyphen wrench, R-I-N-C-H. A G-U-H hyphen R-I-N-C-H isn't a thing, except in my poem, which means it's my copyright, which means it's mine. Mine. I mean, we know what I mean, especially with the way I read it, Grinch. We know who I'm referring to. But from a legal standpoint, at least what I was told by an IP lawyer a couple decades ago, and maybe things have changed because companies have become much more defensive of their IP and much more demanding of the courts to support their copyrights and so forth. But at the time, this is what worked. Another thing that I had at one point in an early draft of this story was when I say, but then the time came, everyone was ready. All children smile, Jean, Lisa, Joey, Angie, Davy, Jenny, Deanna, Elsa, Schmendrick, Dilly, Billy, Alan, Tan, Moby, and oh yeah, Eddie. At one point I had Marsha, Jan, Cindy, Peter, Bobby, Greg, and oh yeah, Eddie. If you're of a certain age, you know right away that I'm referring to the Brady Bunch. And yeah, it was funny. It made me laugh, but I thought, no, we don't need a Brady Bunch reference. And also, again, people are defensive of their IP. I don't need to get into that kind of trouble. Let's get rid of that. Apparently, I have a Sherwood Schwartz thing, because not only was I going to mention the Brady Bunch, originally this was, they found the perfect place, a deserted isle. Figured they'd wait, chat with Gilligan for a while. Yeah, nobody needs a Gilligan reference. I mean, it's fun, but no. So, you know, that changed. there are several nods to other well-known poems and things like that. I refer to a Rudy, where I use his lesser-known moniker. There's, of course, the part, on Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer, and Vixen. Obviously, I'm not the first person to write those names in that order. Again, it's homage. It's not a great part of the story, and the story isn't being sold on the basis of using those lines from well-known works. Same with all were stirring, as opposed to none were stirring, not even a mouse. I say all were stirring, even that little mouse, whilst others were planning in an abandoned warehouse. Again, play on something familiar with a little twist to it, just as a nod. There's also a nod to cartoons in this. Some of you may have noticed that the voice I decided to use for Benny is the same voice for Benny the security guard in Animaniacs. I just needed names that sounded, you know, like bad guy names, and Jake Otto Benny worked as burglars for me here. But I also knew that they were kind of cartoony and that the characters were kind of cartoony. In the end, they wanted something real, which was to be able to believe in Christmas again, which Santa gives them at the end. But their whole aspect is very cartoony. And so when I decided to record this, I said, hey, I got a Benny. I'm gonna make him sound like this. Much like a movie script, the other thing about this story is that it's meant to be visual. So when I wrote it, there are notations that I made for certain moments and how I visualize them. For instance, when the mouse is stirring, he's like stirring hot chocolate. The three villains that are scheming, their names, Jake, Otto, and Benny, because their names aren't said until later on, the visual when we first meet them, my notation was that each one has his name imprinted on his shirt, like a henchman from a 1960s Batman TV show where they have henchmen written on their shirts. It was that kind of a thing. The part where Mrs. Claus says,
we go through this every year, no one's beaten you yet,
is not just a reference to the inspiration of this story, The Nightmare Before Christmas, but it's a reference to all those Rankin Bass stop-motion animation specials that most of us saw growing up, where there was always something getting in the way of Christmas, and Rudolph or somebody else had to help and had to make sure that Christmas happened. So that was my nod to those. They unloaded the children from a massive barge. Benny ate a burger that was real large. That is there to make fun of the medium that I'm in. I like to deconstruct things. Just me playing with the format, playing with the idea of how obviously forced making these things into a poem are. You have to make the words poetry, right? You're not just looking at rhymes. You're looking at how to construct a sentence that it can read like a rhyme. In probably every single thing that I work on, I have a moment where if I'm not breaking the fourth wall, I'm at least acknowledging the ridiculousness of the medium in which I am stuck. You know, I will always, in some manner, challenge the status quo. It is just what I do. It's how I work. If I haven't done it in this podcast, and I know I have, not this episode necessarily. Edit. I have indeed done it in this episode. Please rewind to the very start of this podcast to listen to how it opens. Thank you. But I've been doing it from the very beginning with how I read the scripts, especially in episode 3, where I just threw everything out the window and decided to read one of Jordan Peele's characters in Get Out with the voice of Droopy Dog. I think right there says everything you need to know about me and my sense of humor and my approach to writing and performing. And the last thing I will say, yeah, I may have sounded a little sleepy at the end of the poem. That's because I was a little sleepy by the end of the poem. I had been recording and re-recording all night. I think I read those last few lines at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so that's why it sounds like I'm going, Rudy is a little known moniker. Oh, happy belated Hanukkah. Because I'm sleepy by that point. I was done. And of course, one thing I should definitely go over are a couple of Christmas movie recommendations. I'm going to keep this very brief. Everybody has their favorites. I'm going to try and give you some movies that maybe you haven't seen or haven't seen in a while. I'm going to start with a Disney Channel movie, which I know everyone canceled their Disney subscriptions earlier this year. But there is a movie that I've happened upon that I really enjoyed, which I don't know if it's really a Christmas movie exactly. There are parts of it that refer to the holidays, but it's not about Christmas. It is called Godmothered, and it stars
two of my favorite comedic actors, Jillian Bell from Workaholics and Isla Fisher from, I don't know, like movies and stuff, who are terrific. The story is a woman who wants to be a fairy godmother finds out that the fairy godmother program is ending. And she's going to have to become a tooth fairy, which is not what she wants. So she decides to prove that fairy godmothers are still needed. June Squibb and Jane Curtin from Saturday Night Live also have roles in the supporting roles in the movie. It's worth the viewing. It was super fun. Also, a Hallmark movie. I don't generally recommend Hallmark because, to paraphrase myself in a tweet from back when I was on Twitter, the homogenized, forcibly homo-less Hallmark world is not one I believe in, but Hallmark doesn't believe in that because Hallmark is crazy. That said, I am a big fan of actor Maggie Lawson, who some of you might know from the comedy detective series Psych. She was Jules, and she was wonderful in that. And so I watched her movie Sugar Plummed last year, and that was a lot of fun. On the very opposite end of the cute and fun spectrum are two other movies that I recommend. One is a horror movie called Better Watch Out. Don't look it up. Just don't Google it. Don't read the summary. Don't read anything. It will ruin the twists in it. Don't watch the trailer even. Because if you're one of those people like me who can figure out an entire story, an entire movie, just from the trailer, you will figure out this entire movie just from the trailer. Better Watch Out is most easily described as Home Alone as a horror film. That's all you need to know. Just know that and go in and enjoy. The other movie I'm going to recommend also has a problem in it. The problem in the movie shall remain nameless, but the movie is called The Ref. It stars Dennis Leary, Judy Davis, Christine Baranski, Glynis Johns from Mary Poppins, and J.K. Simmons has a small role in it. It also has another actor who is triggering and hard to watch, but everything else about that movie is so darn good, including that cast that I just listed, that it is the one movie with that actor who shall remain nameless that I will continue to watch because everybody else is so darn good. And even Dennis Leary, even if you don't like his shtick, he's quite good in this film, The Ref. And back to the opposite of the opposite side of the spectrum, I'm going to recommend The Muppet Christmas Carol. Apparently there are humans on Earth who have not seen The Muppet's Christmas Carol. The reason I'm mentioning it, I mean, there's a lot of people who have seen it. It is one of those multi-generational films. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because it is actually a really good adaptation of A Christmas Carol. In my opinion, it could have been a little more Muppety. I would have liked a little bit more Muppet humor in it. It's still a great movie, and I do recommend it, but I'm recommending it not as much because it's the Muppets, as much as it's the Muppets doing a really close adaptation of A Christmas Carol, whereas there are a lot of other film and movie adaptations that strayed much further from the tone and the details of the supporting characters that the Muppets doesn't stray from, that the Muppet movie embraces. And last but not least on my unusual Christmas movie list is one I don't think people talk about enough anymore. Early 90s film called Grumpy Old Men, starring Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau and also Anne Margaret. It is just fun. It's Matthau and Lemmon, and if you've not watched a movie of theirs, especially when they're together, okay, skip The Odd Couple sequel, but The Odd Couple is a great film. Hopscotch with Walter Matthau is a great film. Jack Lemmon's The Out-of-Towners, which was remade. The original is far superior to the remake. No offense to Stephen Goldie, who I am great friends with. We have lunch frequently. No, I'm fans of theirs. So if you've not seen a Matthau or Lemmon or Matthau and Lemmon film, Grumpy Old Men is a great one. Highly recommend it. And so that brings us to the end of the podcast and the year. Happy holidays, happy new year, enjoy some movies. I'll see you at the table read.
If you want to continue this conversation and follow me on the socials, I love talking movies, TV, and comic books at The Reality Comics on Blue Sky, which is like Twitter but not, and Instagram. That's both at The Reality Comics. Thank you so much for listening. See you at the table read. First 10 Pages is written, hosted, and edited by Keith Planet. Music by Edison Carter. Any corrections, questions, or comments, please reach out via social media on Blue Sky or Instagram at The Reality Comics. The First 10 Pages, copyright 2025.